Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make it so easy for us to sing these songs because you are worthy of so much honor and praise and glory. Everywhere we look around in creation, we cannot but help to see your splendor, your majesty, your beauty in creation and people and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Not only the physical, but also the spiritual, how through your power you transform lives and you make us new and you make others new, Father, and that we are forever indebted to you for the work that you continue to do in us and in our world as you work to set creation right till the final day. I do pray this morning as we continue to look at the series Entrusted and what role we play in all of this and how we can be helpful to one another and how we can do the work of your Son as he is working in us and through us in our different neighborhoods and workplaces and wherever we live, move, and have our being. Father, please lead me as I speak. I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Okay, if you're visiting with us today for the first time, we're busy with a series called Entrusted. And that's sort of form a story, usually the series, but I also try to do the messages semi-independently that you don't actually need to know the previous one to be able to make sense of it. But these messages are all available on our website on both video and audio. But basically what the message Entrusted is about or has been about is talking about what we call or what the Bible refers to one another relationships. In other words, involvement of one Christian in the life of the other Christian, or if you want to call it son of God, involved in the other son or daughter of God's life, or if you want to call it disciple, one disciple, involved in the life of another disciple, if you want to do the Greek, as we looked at last time, the one mathetes, that's a student, pupil, learner, disciple, involved in the other mathetes' life. And I believe that in our ability to get that right, and not perfect, but right, move in the right direction with it, is what enables us to ultimately be the church, okay? Because the goal is not for us to go to church. It's good to go to church. But church, as I think I said last week, and as I always say to people, Sundays for me personally is a worship service. It's a time where we come together and we worship God and we fellowship and we connect with one another and we are able to catch up from our different corners of the city. But that's not being the church. Being the church is what we do the rest of the time. Being the church is us being involved in one another's lives, helping each other to bear the image of Christ into our world, into our workplace, into our neighborhood. So that's sort of the theme of where we're at. Now, let me just see if I can move this thing a little bit closer to me. So I don't have to walk that far. Like I said, I'm not quite at the 100Ks yet. But I'm getting there. See, these guys are trying to work me towards that end. One of these days, we're going to find this thing standing quite on the other side. Well, let me move it a little bit just for balance. Okay, there we go. So our theme scripture that we've been looking at is in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul, the apostle who wrote most of the New Testament, who planted a bunch of churches throughout the ancient world, where he speaks his young protege Timothy, and he says to him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says to him, the things that you've heard me say, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. And we started looking at that last week, unpacking some of that and what it is that he is saying. He's saying, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, the Greek there, parathethemi, a place under the care and protection of reliable, pesthos being faithful, dependable, trustworthy people who will also be qualified, hikanos, worthy, able, and competent to teach others. So if we put all of that together, what that looks like, what we said last week, so here you have Paul. Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people, also be qualified to teach others. Now, what we looked at last week, and I'm not going to unpack the whole thing today, but we looked at what were the things that he said to him. What was the gospel, if you may? And the gospel is about God's kingdom, his rule and reign, the age to come, breaking into our world, in other words, God's space, his rule and reign, the age to come, breaking into our world in and through Jesus to ultimately renew the whole of creation. And we looked at passages where where before this happened, Jesus said to the guys, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's breaking in. It's near breaking into our world. Therefore, repent and believe the Evangelion, the good news, that God is busy setting creation right. He is busy renewing all things. And so he's saying to them, listen here, these things, Timothy, that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people. So not just anyone, reliable, faithful people, dependable people, trustworthy people, who will also then be qualified, not perfect, ikonos, as we said, worthy, able, and competent to teach others. Where did Paul get this idea? And again, we looked at that last week. It was from Jesus. Jesus was God's agent to break his kingdom into our world, and Jesus gathered 12 men whom he trained to be reliable, to be trustworthy, to be competent, and able. And the night before his betrayal, he gathered these men, or the night of his betrayal, he gathered these 12 men together, and he said to them, listen here, here's my new command I give to you, love one another as I've loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, my mathetes. Love one another as I have loved you, as I have given myself to you, as I have invested the kingdom way of life. In other words, what does this kingdom way of life, this coming age look like? I embodied it for you. I taught it to you again and again, and I endured with you, and in the same way I want you to endure with others. Then obviously right at the end, before he departed to be in heaven, he said in Matthew 28 again, go make disciples of all nations, the same thing. Go make disciples, mathetes of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you through my Spirit to the end of the age. So what is he doing? The message is being passed on from Jesus to the apostles, from the apostles to others, to Paul, to Timothy, Timothy entrusting it to reliable people. This kingdom way of living, which is not, as we know it in our culture, believing in Jesus. Oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Not that, okay? But to be transformed by Jesus, to be made new by Jesus, that my life will be a signpost to the age to come. That as people look at my life, that they can see what it is that God is wanting to do in this world now, and ultimately at the end of creation as he renews all things. That's the message that's being passed on. And he's saying, pass it on to these guys, these guys, these guys. So ultimately what these guys are going to do is they need to continue to entrust it to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others, who will teach others, who will teach others until it is all said and done. This continuous way of living, a renewed life. So in essence, if we look through the spiritual sense of what's happening here, we're back here to what Jesus did as he came to start the renewal of all things. God's kingdom broke into our world through Jesus. And he opened a door into God's world through which he then pulled other people into it. And he's saying, okay, what these guys now need to do as they are entrusted with this message of renewal of what God is doing, what do they need to do? They need to pass this message on to others, and they need to pull others into it. And they need to continue down this path until one day God renews all things. Where he comes at the end, and as Jesus comes back, he's coming back in sort of in one sweep, he will renew all things. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, those who are still alive will get new glorious bodies, and the whole of creation will be renewed. That's the message, passed on from one person to the other, to the other, and as we looked at last week as well, to teach to obey, not just information, but transformation, as one person helps the other, who helps the other, who helps the other, who helps the other, who helps each other, till Jesus comes back. That's what it means to be the church. That is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Listen here, the things that you've heard me say, this is a big deal, buddy. Entrust. Place this way of living under the care and the protection of faithful, dependable people who will also be worthy, able, and competent to teach others. That's a big job, friends. So what does that mean? It means what we need is we need a great number of teachers, trainers, shepherds. And by that, I'm not meaning that we need more people on the pulpit. We can do with that too. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is we need more men and women who are faithful, dependable, trustworthy, qualified to continue to pass on the message. Now, I know that there's a crowd in here that immediately you say anything in that direction and you want to run to Prozac. Okay, and for my Prozac takers, no offense against Prozac. I see those things as all God's gift to earth where he helps us with those kind of things. Oh, I'm falling short. Oh, I'm not making it. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being renewed and wanting to be renewed and getting help from a teacher who can help me utilize God's transformational power in my life to bear out the image of Christ. Make sense? So all of that is being said to say that what we're going to start looking at today is what does a great teacher look like? Because we need it. So in other words, currently, let me just see a show of hands. Who of us in this room currently is responsible for another person spiritually? Let me just show of hands here. So you're responsible for another person spiritually. You're in a discipling relationship with someone spiritually. You're helping someone to grow. Let me just see a show of hands again. Oh, raise it high, but be proud, humbly proud. Okay, look around. Oh, I see we've got these scrawny little hands. Okay, a number of us. So now for those that put up their hands and the others that are being taught by this person, let me tell you what the hand raiser should look like. Okay, just to be clear. Now, a great hand raiser. Okay, a great hand. And again, I'm not talking here about perfection. I'm talking about us growing. To be like Jesus, to be like Paul, to be like Timothy, and follow them as they followed Jesus. A great hand raiser always trains the mathetes, the disciple, with the end in mind. In other words, they're not just randomly helping someone. They're always training with the end in mind. In other words, where are we actually, where am I trying to steer this individual's life? Two. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about himself being the good shepherd and give us a clear picture of what that sort of looks like. And he says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, Jesus said, I have come that they, his disciples, his mathetes, may have life and have it to the full. Okay? I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, what does that mean? Life to the full. Did Jesus come so that his disciples can have a great time at the beach? And that's life to the full right there. And so Jesus came so we can have life to the full. I've heard that many times over my time, a life of being a Christian, where people say, oh, Jesus came in. Man, I'm mountain biking. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I mean, I'm just doing what Jesus came to do for me. It's life to the full. Maybe it's a dream holiday. Jesus came to take me to Bora Bora. Now, I'm still waiting for Jesus to take me to Bora Bora. I've been waiting 25 years, and I'm as faithful today as I was 25 years ago. That Bora Bora will come, but it's not come yet. So if one of you feels called, and if you feel sort of a something, and that might be the Holy Spirit impressing it on your heart, to send my wife and I to Bora Bora, please speak to me afterwards, or you can email borabora@werner.com. Fathers, maybe a life to full dream house, dream car. Oh man, if I can live that, it's life to the full. That's why Jesus came. I watched this little video clip about a guy. He's a Christian TV producer or movie producer, and he was ranting and raving about this issue where he picked up on Facebook how religious, what a religious society we live in and how skewed the gospel has become. Where the gospel is that Jesus come to give you what you want. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Okay? And so he did a test run of some of these Facebook pages that he's on to see, because he would see that people say, hey, if you like this, Jesus will bless you. Okay, so you make a comment, like it, and oh, Jesus' blessing just flows upon you. So he made this comment on Facebook, and he just posted Luke chapter 4, verse 7, that says, if you worship me, all will be yours. And he said within the first minute, he had 10 likes. Within the first hour, over 100 likes. Then he's posting this little video, and he's saying, up to this time, 600 likes, 500 comments. Just saying, amen, praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Now, that quote comes out of the mouth of Satan to Jesus in Luke 4, where Satan says to Jesus, if you worship me and surrender all to me now, all will be yours. He says, out of the 600 comments that were made, only 20 people said to me, dude, I think that's a little bit out of context. And then suddenly people just started deleting their comments. And he said, there was a pastor who also said, praise you, brother, praise you. And he said, then quickly the pastor deleted it, but he said not before he could take a screenshot of the comment. Life to the full, what does it mean? The word life, or Zoe in Greek, appears 36 times throughout the book of John. And it's never used in a sense of natural life or biological life, but always meant in a sense of real life, true life, spiritual life, or life of the age to come. Eternal life. And John 17, verse 3, Jesus prays. And in his prayer, he says, now this is eternal life. This is Zoe Aionios, which translated in our English Bibles is eternal life. Zoe Aionios means life of the age. Around New Testament times, just before Jesus and after Jesus, it meant life of the age to come. So Jesus is praying and he's saying, this is the life of the age to come. What is the age? How can I have the age to come, eternal life, right here, right now? He says, this is eternal life. This is Zoe Aionios, that they may know you. He's praying to God. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is Zoe Aionios. This is the life of the age to come. This is where renewal will happen when they know you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, speaking of Jesus, said, he must become greater, and I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. And remember what we're talking about, what makes a great teacher? A great teacher, a great trainer, a great shepherd knows this, that Jesus has come to give us life to the full, life of the age to come, here, now, where he will renew the world through us, and that it's my job, that if I'm responsible for another person, my goal is to help them be like Jesus. My goal is to be able to help them know Jesus, find their joy in Jesus, and do the work of Jesus. So in other words, here is the guy that I'm responsible for, that I'm shepherding, discipling, training, whatever you want to call it. What is my goal with this person? I need to help them move towards that end in their life. I need to help them to be the man or the woman of God that they need to be, that will form part of God's plan of renewing all things, as seen in the way that they treat their spouse, as seen as they are in the workplace, as seen in how they parent, as seen in how they deal with disappointment, as seen in how they deal with blessing, how they deal with health issues, how they deal with challenges. My goal, if I'm a great trainer, is that I know that's it. It's not about helping people to be more moral. It's not about helping people to do the right things. It's not about helping people to come to church and be committed to meetings of the body and reading their Bible. No, all those things is just part of a much bigger picture. And that bigger picture is to be truly human again. Where I want to help them to reflect the image of Christ into creation. That's a big job. It is a long-lasting job, but that is the work. That is what Jesus entrusted to Paul to Timothy, to others, to you and me today, that we help one another towards that end. So that is number one. Number two here, we're going to talk about, in total, I think seven things, but only two or three today. Then next week we'll do the rest. another thing for a great teacher, and again, I'm not criticizing the teachers here. I'm trying to help us to be who it is that we need to be in order to go where it is that we not need to go so that God can use us in the way that he wants to use us. Make sense? Okay, so thing number two here is that the teacher, the shepherd, trainer, their servantel is huge and it is used. We live in a culture that absolutely loves, adores, cherishes, longs for, worships, will give anything to self. All that social media has done is it has unveiled what has always been there. I personally don't have anything against social media. But if you think of what happens in social media is basically an opportunity for you to see me. I'm going to the beach. Let me quickly take a selfie. I want you to know how good my life is. Because if you're going to like this, then I'm going to feel better about myself, about this photo of which I needed to take 15 to get the right one and edit and do all kinds of other things and get the children to actually be quiet and smile. No, I told you, smile. Did I not say smile? And the wind was blowing, but now my hair was blowing like this, because it was actually horrible at the beach at that time. The wind is blowing, but now eventually I get it that my hair blows that way. Take a selfie. I read this week about a YouTuber, vlogger. Again, nothing, I'm not, just to be clear, particularly to the teens, I'm not against in any way these things, and I'm not necessarily saying Jesus is. I'm not quite sure how he feels about it. But a YouTuber, she's 28 years old, she's had a billion views of her different YouTube clips in which she talks about herself or what she thinks or her house. She's literally a pound millionaire. Her full-time job is bringing you into her world, and she is milking you. You are paying her life. Facebook, Instagram, check again how many likes. I'm like, did I get any comments? What was the comment? Ooh, that's a bad comment. Can this thing delete? Can I delete the comment? Do I need to delete the photo? What does all of this have in common? It is hashtag selfie. I did a bit of research on selfies, and they say the first selfie was supposedly taken in 1893. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but they found a photo of a dude that... Now, then, per definition, selfie, the word selfie is actually in the dictionary. Okay, I think it was 2013 that it went into the dictionary. Okay, the word selfie is actually where you take a photo of yourself, usually with a phone, which obviously what instigated this is the reverse camera. Okay, that was a big seller because previously it was sort of hard to, how do I get myself and then my head's not in and what have you. And now when I could turn it around, now suddenly I could see myself and smoke. We laugh. What I should do is put live feed of Facebook and Instagram of us in here. I read that the millennials, now the millennials are people who are currently, and this is a shocking fact considering it's the millennials. Millennials are people who are currently between the age of 18 and 34. So we're not even talking about the teenagers. The millennials are projected, and in your life, you will take 25,000 selfies. Selfie, 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 selfie. And everything, right? And listen, I'm not saying we've never taken a selfie, what have you, but it is so deceitful because what happens is you literally try and create the perfect environment. So even the food, so the waiter brings the food and you put it right and you let the light shine on this in the right way and then the one leaf sort of blows a little bit that way and you put that right again, you take everything out and then there's a person in the back there and you say, shoo, shoo, you know. Is this a new phenomenon, as many of us believe? I don't think so. In Mark 10, verse 35, James and John, the so-called apostles, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, even in that comment, you have to, say what? And Jesus, we've been thinking about this. And we want you to to do for us whatever we ask. Jesus indulges them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied that one of us sit at your right and the other at your left and all of your glory. So they knew that if we reverse, they're walking away from Jesus actually. Okay, they knew that there will be a time where the age to come will come and God will renew all things and Jesus, the anointed king, the son of David, will be Lord of the world and revealed to all. And where they want to be, they say, when that day comes, well, we want it. We want that spot over there and that spot over there. And two of us. That's what we want. Your right and your left. I think he's left, I'm right. Hashtag selfie. To sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. Jesus handles this incredibly humbly, if you ask me, and patiently. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. What opened the door into this world for us today was the death, the burial, and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus opened the door. He was the first to be resurrected into God's new world. What enabled it? His crucifixion. Who were the people on his right and left in his glory? Were the two thieves on the cross? Because that is how upside down God's world is from ours. That death is glory. Verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. You on the left and right? I should be on the left. And I think he should be on the right. I don't even think you guys should be anywhere close to the left and the right. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles or the nations lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Then he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. Now I thought of this after this PowerPoint was created, so this is old technology. Imagine I should stick it on there. Okay, I don't know if you can even see it here. But obviously the way that it works in the world is there's the guy at the top, and then everyone at the bottom serves the guy at the top. Okay? So, if you're a teenager, where do you think you are in the picture? The white piece of a year. Bless you, brother. I call that being deceived. But it's not just you, nor is it just teenagers. We all see ourselves here. That's me. And my spouse and my colleagues and the world around me and the government, and they are there to serve me. I deserve to be happy, don't I? I deserve good things. And it's the rest of the world's job to make me feel good about myself. By liking my stuff, by commenting, on telling me how wonderful I am. Jesus says, listen, guys, that's how the world, that's how the present age does it. Not so with you. He says, to be my mathetes, the life of the age to come, the renewed life, the life of new creation, is where you become servant and slave to all, where I offer myself to others. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The shepherd's life is a life of service, and his servant's towel needs to be huge and it needs to be used. Some of us want to help others with this towel. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a mini towel. It's a baby Barbie towel. And we think, well, I'm going to help you with this baby. No, Jesus is saying, listen, you. I wish you could see this thing closer. It is, geez, with the light, that actually makes it look good. But it's full of marks. This is the towel in our house that we use when you don't want to use the towel that you're using. You guys have a towel like that? That, and my wife is dying, my daughter is dying of embarrassment, but that's this towel. And it says that the great teacher, the great trainer, the great shepherd needs to have a towel like this. It needs to be huge, it needs to be used, and I need to see myself that my role in your life is to help you be new creation. And it's going to be hard. Paul says in the book of Acts, he says to the church in Ephesus, he says, remember that for 3 years, night and day, I never stopped warning each of you with tears, begging you to be renewed and to submit your life to the rule and reign of God, that He can work in you as He intends to work in you. He says to the church in Galatia, he says, I'm again like in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed. That's the great teacher. They're a servant. They're willing to get their hands dirty. They're willing to love. They're willing to invest. They're willing to give whatever it takes to serve. Not to rule, to serve, to help someone else be truly human by submitting their life to the rule and reign of Christ, because He has become their greatest treasure, joy, and delight. And so their desire is that they want to know Jesus, they want to become like Jesus, and they want to do the work of Jesus. So my prayer for us as a congregation is that we will be those kind of teachers, that we will fight to be it for one another. What it means is that I need to be one, and those that I look after need to be one, 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 till at the end of all time, Jesus can come, and He can set all things right, and creation can ultimately be renewed. God bless. Hope that was helpful.